Welcome to Focus on the Family's weekend broadcast. We hope the following program will challenge you and encourage you in your faith journey.
But what I've loved is just saying every day, God, whether I'm in business or whether I'm in full-time ministry, I am in ministry. And how can I use that for the glory of God? And then to see what God's done. I mean, it's only Him. But learning to trust Him, that still small voice in your heart, in your mind, when God prompts you, be obedient in that.
That's Pastor Jeff Simmons describing how God uses ordinary people in extraordinary ways. I'm John Fuller, and welcome to Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
John, we all want to live good and purposeful lives, right? I think that's reasonable. Human beings, even those that are non-believers, want to live a purposeful life. Maybe not everybody. They just kind of get through the day. But as Christians, one of our goals should be to get to heaven and hear those words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," right? We as believers have that desire to please the Lord. Sometimes our path in life isn't what we hoped it would be, or it may be a temporary detour, right? And we don't understand, God, why am I on this detour? Mm-hmm. And it can be a little fraying to our sensibilities. And when Gene and I first became involved with Focus, I remember driving up to Pomona, and it was 1989. I remember saying to Gene, you know, I think we could just give this a couple of years. It'll be our payback to the Lord, and then we'll get back into the business world and then buy the house and do all the things we want to do financially. That sounds horrible, but I was only 27. So give me a little bit of
a
break.
And so 2 years has stretched into
34, wow. 35. I don't know. I mean, it's been an amazing ride. And yet at the same time, it was unplanned. This wasn't the direction we thought the Lord would take us. And today, you might be living in that place where it feels a little unplanned. This wasn't what I expected. We're going to address those issues and so many others.
Yeah, and Pastor Jeff Simmons has spent his life pursuing God's purpose, and he writes and speaks, and he's the founding and senior pastor of Rolling Hills Community Church in the Nashville area. He's also the president of Justice and Mercy International. They do missions work in Moldova and the Amazon jungle. Jeff has written a terrific book published by Focus on the Family called Finding the Extra in Ordinary, Embracing the Beauty of the Christian Life. You can find out more about Jeff and the book at focusonthefamily.com/broadcast.
Jeff, it's great to have you here at Focus for the first time.
Ah, Jeff, thanks so much. John, love being here with you guys. It's beautiful.
Okay, here's the right opening question.
Yeah.
What is the purpose of life?
Yeah. Well,
can you finally answer that?
Yes, I'll tell you. Jesus. How about that?
I like it.
Honestly, I mean, I think that's where life comes alive, is when you yield your life to Christ, you begin to follow Christ. And I think so many people are searching out there for hope and meaning. And we know that Christ is the one. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full, right?
No,
and
awesome.
So that's, I think that's where it all comes down to.
Okay, the opening thought here out of the book, you have this relationship with Dolly Parton. I'm sitting there going, we were visiting foster kids in Tennessee, and Gene went one summer without me back there and went to, what
Dollywood?
Is it, Dollywood?
Dollywood, yeah.
So she had a great time with the kids.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about your relationship with Dolly Parton.
Yeah, Dolly's a legend. You know, it's funny. Anywhere you go in the world, you say you're from Tennessee, people go, Dolly Parton, you know, and you're like, yeah, Dolly Parton.
In the Amazon jungle?
Even in the Amazon. It's incredible. I mean, and she just kind of is transcendent. But if you know her story, right? I mean, she grew up in rural, dirt poor Tennessee.
Very poor, yeah.
And, but how amazing to see her joy and her, man, just her love for life, her generosity. And several years ago, I get this call, a guy named Steve, and he says, hey, Dolly and Carl are wanting to do their 50th wedding celebration, and would you come do their vow renewal? And I was like, okay. You know, and so I wasn't sure, like, how's this going to go?
You know? Did you know them at all?
Yeah. So, well, I've met Dolly a few times, but I wasn't as close back then. I didn't know her as well. And I said, well, and I went home and told my wife. I was like, Lisa, they want me to do it. She's like, Dolly Parton, are you kidding? Yes.
You know? Confessions of a Christian.
Yeah, exactly. And so sure enough, I show up, and it was pretty amazing because it was our 50th wedding and renewal. Carl had told Dolly, said, I will get you anything you want, Dolly. It's been an incredible 50 years. And here's what Dolly said. Dolly said, Carl, I don't want to go anywhere else in the world. She goes, I want to just have a real wedding. And she said, I want a real preacher. And I want to take lots of pictures and I want to sell them to the paparazzi so I can make money for the Imagination Library. Mm-hmm. And her Imagination Library, they give books to every child born in Tennessee. And now it's gone, you know, nationwide and even global. Huh. But she wanted to do something to help kids learn how to read. And even our kids, we growing up, we got books and great books from Dolly. And that just showed her heart. So I showed up and it was just a few of, it was just us. And yeah. It was a special time.
You know, it's interesting about that because Jean, when she did go there to Dollywood, she said one of the things that was really refreshing, she said, you know, these kids are small. They were like 5 and 7 or 6 and 8 when Jean took them. And she said they couldn't really hit the amusement park games, like throwing the ball knocking over the milk cartons or whatever. But everybody got a prize, you know, even the 3-year-old that couldn't throw the ball and hit, they still got a little stuffed animal or something.
Oh, yeah.
And the person said that's because Dolly wanted it done that way, that she didn't want a child to be disappointed that they didn't get something. Yeah. I think that's really sweet. It's amazing. That's what the amusement park should be about, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, sounds like she's a very authentic person. I've never met her, but that's a great story.
Oh, it's amazing.
Let me ask you to describe, you know, this kind of understanding that you have characters in the Bible. Some of them certainly seem extraordinary, Daniel perhaps, but you say most of the characters in the Bible are pretty ordinary people.
Yeah. I mean, you start looking down the list and you think Mary, you know, well, I mean, she was uneducated, poor, and God chose her, right? You think about Peter and John. I mean, Acts 4:13, right? It says, you know, they were ordinary. Like we talked about, they were ordinary, unschooled men, but they had this courage, and people took note that they had been with Jesus. And that's where the change is. I mean, these were ordinary fishermen guys. You know, they hadn't been to seminary. They didn't have some great education, but they were with Jesus, and they spent time with Jesus, and all of a sudden, their life became extraordinary. And I really think that's where it all comes down to.
Absolutely. Knowing the Word. Of course, the Word was walking with them, so they had it firsthand. It's there and available for all of us to have that kind of wisdom that makes it extraordinary.
Oh, yeah.
The key is for us not to heap that pride onto ourselves.
Amen.
Aren't we smart?
Yeah.
Because we could read.
Right.
You know, so often I talk about treating people with kindness and gentleness, and people say, man, that's a great concept, Jim. I go, what? I can read. I had a good first and second grade teacher. I'm just reading the New Testament, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Don't give that credit to me.
Yeah,
if I'm not doing it, you should come after me.
Right.
With regard to serving Christ, what's the difference between being able, and I really love this phrase that you coined, being able and being available.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's a big difference. You know,
yeah, I like it.
You know, it's Peter and John, they walked with Jesus for 3 years, right? But then after Jesus ascends into heaven, the Holy Spirit comes. So now, I mean, it's not just every day, it's every moment that you're with the Lord and the Holy Spirit working through you. So I think we're all able, not in our own strength by the grace of God, but in the strength that God provides through the Spirit in us. And then it's being available, right? It's just saying, God, every day, what do you want to do through me? You wake up and you just go, God, I'm your servant, right?
Yeah.
I'm not living for myself. It's not about making money or looking great in the world's eye. It's I'm living for you. What do you want to do through me, God, for your glory? And all of a sudden you become available to God, and then you start seeing God work. You see these divine appointments that God has that they were there before, but you weren't looking. You weren't ready, you know?
It's super amazing when that happens.
Amazing.
I mean, that's why we walk around like, wow, did you see what God did? And people are going, what do you do? Where?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
They're looking for a pillar of fire, and you're going, no, it was connecting this person with that person or whatever happened. This is great content, and I think, again, let's just poke at some of the things that tend to derail us, but describe how we can disqualify ourselves from the service of God, and then what are some of the excuses that we make that disqualify us?
Oh, yeah. I think we disqualify ourselves a lot. You
what
know?
Does that sound like in our head?
In our head, I think the enemy comes in. I think we forget that we're in a spiritual battle, and I think a lot of times the enemy will come in and go, you remember what you did in college?
Yeah,
you remember that? You remember what you did in high school? You remember what you said? You remember, you know, and now you're trying to be a godly husband? You're trying to be a godly father? You're trying to make a difference as a godly wife or a mom? Or you're what are you thinking? You can't do that. Or you haven't been to seminary. Are you kidding? You haven't read this book. And I think we just go, yeah, you're right. You know, oh man, who am I? And we disqualify ourselves. But we got to push past that. I mean, the Apostle Paul murdered Christians. I mean, like, you don't think Satan's in his head every day going, what do you think you're doing? And there had to be a time Paul's going, get behind me, Satan. You know, I'm going in the way of the Lord. I'm walking with Jesus. And I mean, God used him to impact the world. And I think God can use us.
Yeah, and it's good to think about that because you're right. There's a little hint of that in Scripture with the disciples.
Yeah.
When Paul's name is mentioned, they're going,
Yeah, exactly.
Are we sure about this conversion?
Yeah, you know, yeah.
In modern terms, yeah, they were together going, I'm not so sure. You know, he was killing us.
Yeah.
How do we vet this thing? Yeah, who's going to go talk to Paul?
Yeah.
Everybody took two steps back and somebody was out there in front. Okay, I guess I'll go
Barnabas,
do it.
Praise God. You know? I'll take
Barnabas,
the team. You know?
I wonder if he stepped forward or just everybody else stepped backward. All right, Barnabas, go talk to Paul. Okay.
You're the encouraging one. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it does come down to that sometimes.
It really does.
I like that idea too, just to elaborate a bit on the simplicity. What I find the older I become, and maybe a little bit of wisdom comes with that, but it's almost the better understanding I have of God's simplicity.
Mm.
It's not complicated. He doesn't need a PhD.
Right. No.
Which is your point.
No.
Peter's out fishing. He's a fisherman.
Yes.
And how we can undermine our own godly confidence to be able to talk to somebody about the Lord, especially in a day where tolerance is so valued.
Yeah.
You know, for us, say, to a coworker or somebody we bump into at the grocery store, man, I see you're struggling. Is there anything I could do? And, you know, I love the Lord and I'd love to help you. Just little things like that.
Exactly. I think it's being available every day. You know, I think about a woman, Marilyn, you know, she was at work and they brought another lady in and she was like, hated her job, but she said, God has me here for a reason. And she started talking to her and found out the woman was going through a divorce and all these things that were going on in her life. Ends up inviting her to church, leading her to Christ, watching her be baptized. And she said, God had me at that job for her. It wasn't just to make money. It was for her. And I thought, that's a different perspective right there, right? That is being available to God.
And what's so good about that, and I've heard this said by many people, when you look at your vocation, look at it as missions work, a ministry.
Yes.
And sometimes that could be hard. You know, you're the engineer or the accountant, maybe not in a people skill business. How do you wake up every day and go, okay, Lord, I'm going to do my vocation as my ministry. Help me today with numbers. Help me today, whatever I got to do. How do you gear up for that?
Yeah, well, I think you do your job with integrity and with character because people are watching your life. I think you do speak up. I mean, I think there's a call to boldness. You know, it says they saw the courage of Peter and John. You know, there is a boldness factor there. I think even asking, how can I pray for you? You know, to people. I mean, it's so, you know, disarming, but it also says a lot in that moment. And people will open up and they'll say, thank you for praying. And even, you know, using those opportunities just to point people to Jesus and those little things make a huge impact and difference. And I think generosity, that love, it changes everything. And there's a lot of people go to their job, they just hate their job, and that's hard. But if you go in with a different attitude, people see that attitude.
Yeah. Jeff, so often it's refreshing to see authors talk about their own experiences, right? To fess up to challenges that they had. And you do that brilliantly in this book. You had some wrestling to do with God on some indecisions about what God wanted you to do for a career after college. So fess up, what was going on? What was the tug of war and how'd you resolve that conflict?
Yeah, great question. I majored in business in college. So I majored in finance and marketing. I always thought I would go into business. And then,
my goodness, that was my major.
Was it really?
Finance and marketing.
Yeah. So I was interviewing with a major company in St. Louis, and me and a good buddy, and had great interviews. But that night, I couldn't sleep. And I had a wrestling with God. Literally, I felt like, Jacob, I just couldn't sleep. I got down on my knees and was crying. I was going, okay, God. And God said, I've called you to ministry. And I'm like, what is that? You know? And I felt like the trajectory of my life was going to be doing business and making money and you know,
well, we just
successful.
Said you can use your vocation as ministry.
Exactly.
So I'm going to...
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
That's what I was planning.
You
I
can
wanted
do
to be,
that.
My dad was a Christian businessman and he was great. I watched my dad, you know, he was generous. He always invited people to church. He always served at church. And I thought that's what I was going to do. I mean, I wanted to work on the Chicago Stock Exchange. I wanted to make a lot of money. I wanted to do missions. I love missions. I wanted to do ministry. But I wanted to do it as a side, you know? And God said, this is what I've called you to full time. And so I wrestled with God, literally, like, God, is this it? And God said, yes. And so I went in the interview next day and said, I feel like God's called me to do ministry. And they were all like, what? You know, but by God's grace, I didn't take it. My buddy took the job. He's head of AT&T or VP of AT&T. So, but God had a different plan for me. And I've loved it. But what I've loved is just saying every day, God, whether I'm in business or whether I'm in full-time ministry, I am in ministry. And how can I use that for the glory of God? And then to see what God's done. I mean, it's only Him. But learning to trust Him, that still small voice in your heart, in your mind, when God prompts you, be obedient in that. When God prompts you to step into that.
Well, I think it's good for people to hear this, especially in your 20s and 30s, yeah. I think. Because I was there. I was going, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
And I was unsettled in the business world. I mean, I felt like I was able to introduce people to the Lord, and there was good success. I was getting promotions and all that. But I was like, okay, is there anything else here, Lord? What do you want me to do? And sometimes it was just quiet.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not getting any kind of impression or, you know, tea leaves, right. Whatever you want to say. But I just wasn't feeling like the Lord was giving me that direction. So how do you make your heart available and listen to that still small voice?
Yeah.
How do you prepare your heart to be able to hear Him?
That's a great question. We talk about that in the book too, but I really think there's four ways. One, I think it is through His Word, right? I mean, when you're reading God's Word, if you just take the time to stop.
That's a good way to go.
Yeah. God will speak through His Word. Two, I think it is, you know, those circumstances when you start looking around and you're seeing God open and close doors. I think three, it's through wise counsel. I mean, having spiritual mentors in your life, people that you can bounce things off, saying, God's prompted me for this. And then I think four, it is that still small voice. And like you said, Jim, I mean, it's so hard in this world. There's so many distractions. We get on our phone, we start scrolling, everything's going off in our life. But when we could pull away and just go, God, I want to hear from you. You know, be still and know that He is God. God speaks. I'm telling you. I mean, you think about Elijah, but God will speak to you if you will make yourself available to hear from Him. God will speak.
This Focus on the Family broadcast will continue in just a moment.
Alexis was really unhappy in her marriage and felt like giving up until she found us on the radio.
Focus on the Family saved my life. It just was the lifeline that I needed every single day to keep going and keep hoping.
I'm Jim Daly. Help us save more families every month by calling 800-A-FAMILY or donate at focusonthefamily.com/joy.
Your marriage can be redeemed, even if the fights seem constant, even if there's been an affair, even if you haven't felt close in years. No matter how deep the wounds are, you can take a step toward healing them with a Hope Restored Marriage Intensive. Our biblically based counseling will help you find the root of your problems and face challenges together. We'll talk with you, pray with you, and help you find out which program will work best. Call us at 1-866-875-2915.
Thanks for listening to Focus on the Family. Let's resume now with the balance of today's programming.
Jeff, you tell a story about a modern-day rich ruler.
Yeah.
And again, this sometimes, as a new believer or yet to become believer, one of the things I've heard from them is, I don't really understand all the parables and things. Yeah. I don't get it. It's not clicking for me. But what's so amazing is how those parables in the New Testament, where the Lord is talking to us, I think He did that very purposefully so that it would be relevant to generations 2,000 years later, we are today. And so the rich young ruler set that up as the biblical story. And then how did that play out for you in modern times?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we've probably heard the story of the rich young ruler, right? And here's this guy, I mean, he's rich, he's young, he's a ruler, right? He's got all this money, success, but he comes to Jesus, right? It tells us he falls down on his knees. So he recognizes that money doesn't satisfy. Even though he has all this that the world offers, he still realizes something's missing in his heart and his life. And so he comes to Jesus. And Jesus, we know, right, talks about keeping the commandments, and he's like, I've kept them all, right, which that's pride, arrogance, but anyway, nobody asked, but yeah.
Didn't keep that one.
Yeah, exactly. But then Jesus says, go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Wow, you know, and there's this moment right there in that story where the rich young ruler has a decision to make. Am I going to live for Jesus? Am I going to go sell it all and follow Jesus, or am I going to keep living for the world? And it says that he walked away sad, right? Because he knew right in front of him was the extra, right in front of him was the hope, right in front of him was everything that he needed. But he couldn't give up the world. He couldn't give up all the allure and all the riches and the possessions. And it even says that Jesus was sad. Well, I mean, but Jesus didn't run after him and go, oh, just kidding. It's only 10%. You know, Jesus was like, no, I mean, I want your life. I want you to literally follow me. And so that played out. I mean, I was sitting in my office one day, and this guy came by out of our church, young guy. And here he is, a dad, two kids. And he walked in, and he just started bawling. I mean, crying, lost it. And I said, what's going on? And he said, sports gambling. He said, I've lost over $300,000. He goes, my wife just found out. She's going to leave me. I'm going to lose my kids. I'm going to lose everything. And I said, man, this is a defining moment right now. You know, right now, you've got to decide, you know, have you ever given your life to Christ? And he goes, no. And I go, why not? He goes, because I love money. And he said, I just kept thinking, I'm going to hit it big. I'm going to hit it big. The next gamble, the next move.
Right.
I'm going to hit it big.
Make up all the ground.
I'm going to make up all the ground. And I said, give your life to Christ. I'm telling you, there is hope, there's redemption, but only in him. And he got up and he walked out. Oh. He left. And I was sitting there I started crying because my heart broke for him, for his marriage, for his kids. And I thought, he can't give it up. But praise God, 2 weeks later, he came back and he said, you know, last night I couldn't sleep. He said, my wife told me she was leaving. And I got down on my knees and I just said, okay, Lord, it's all you. It's all you. And he said, I met with her this morning and we talked about it and we're willing to go to counseling. She's willing to work on it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to figure out a way to pay it all back. And I watched this kid's life change right there in that moment as he committed his life to Christ. And I just thought, man, what God's going to do through the generations. I mean, you think about not only the impact on his life, but on his kids and on his grandkids. I mean, it's going to be unbelievable. But God just changed his life right there.
Yeah, that is such a powerful story.
Oh.
You had some friends who frantically called you from Hawaii.
Yeah.
And I think it was 2018.
Yeah.
And it was really a moving story. But what happened?
Well, it was crazy. I had these friends, they went on vacation in Hawaii. So then I get this call and I saw their number and I knew they were in Hawaii. And so I thought, oh, it was a joke. And I was like, hey, what's going on? You guys having a blast? You know, they were like, no, you wouldn't believe. We just got an alert on our phone that China has launched 2 nuclear missiles at Hawaii. And I go, you're kidding. I thought they were joking. And they go, no. And I said, and you can go look this up.
I remember this.
This really happened.
I remember when
they were there.
It was a mistake. Somebody tested the system, but it actually went out to everybody.
Went out to everybody. And they said people were running in the hotels, were screaming. And I said, what are y'all doing? And they said, we just went to our room to pray. We just went and we asked it. And they said, can you get on speakerphone? Can we just put you in the middle of our room? Can you pray over us right now? Hmm. And I said, yeah, I'll pray right now. But you know what I was reminded of is in that moment, we're all going to stand before God one day, right? And we don't know how much time we have on this earth. I mean, we could, you know, God could call us home today,
right?
You know, or tomorrow. But in that moment, have we told the people that we love them? Are we living our lives for Christ? Because one day we're all going to stand before God and we want to hear those words.
Yeah.
Well done, good and faithful servant. So if there's anything in our lives of unconfessed sin, if there's any area of our life that we need to get right with God, let's do it now. That reminded me, let's live every day for the glory of God.
Why is it important to manage our expectations of what an extraordinary life means? I mean, again, we can build this up to such a point that it's unattainable, and it's not the goal per se.
No.
What are some good ways to think about how to be extraordinary for God in our simplicity?
Yeah, I think it's being faithful every day. Right. I think it's taking captive every thought. I think when you put the things of the world into our head all the time, that's what's going to come out of our lives. When we put the things of God in our head, that's what comes out of our life. And so, yeah, I think God opens our eyes and we see miracles happen, but it doesn't happen every day. But it's in the everyday obedience. You know, the disciples followed Jesus for 3 years. Now, they saw a lot of incredible miracles, but there were probably days they sat around the campfire, you know, and just told stories. Or there were days when they went off to pray. Or there were days when maybe it was the persecution. It was hard. And they just said, we just got to make it through right now. But God isn't finished with me. And I think for reminding ourselves every day, God's not finished with me. I'm still on this earth for a reason and for a purpose. And there's something that God's doing in me and through me for his glory. If I will just trust him, if I will stay faithful to him every single day.
Yeah, that is good. Jeff, for that person who wants to start pursuing that purposeful life, but they feel like they've blown it so many times, how would you encourage them to take that next positive, godly step to move toward that purposeful life?
Yeah, I do. I think it comes asking forgiveness for God, right? It starts with our relationship with Jesus, putting our lives fully in his hands. And then when we realize that God's forgiven us, then I think the second part is forgiving ourselves. And I think that's a bigger struggle for many people because they won't let go. But you have to let go of that past. You learn from the past, but you go forward in faith. You go forward in Christ. You go forward in that forgiveness. And you start trusting God. And you say, God, use me for your glory. You know, it's like Isaiah, right? Here I am. You know, send me. I mean, it just becomes that daily obedience, that daily dying to self and living for God. You know, I remember when we started the church and we had 15 people, but God said, it just can't be about you. And so he said, let's do a mission trip. And so 8 months later, we took, you know, 18 people and went to Moldova. I didn't even know where Moldova was, but I started hearing the statistics that 60% of girls trafficked into prostitution come out of this small country of Moldova. Mm-hmm. And God started breaking my heart. Huh. And we started working with orphans in Moldova. And I remember the very first time I was there, I was like, God, this is totally out of my realm, right? You know, I just saw these kids sleeping two to a bed, and I saw the need there. And I remember standing outside of this orphanage camp, I mean, probably 300 kids there, and tears running down my eyes. But God said, I want you to invest here. I want you to be involved here. And so it's in those moments that you don't know when God's going to show up, but God shows up, and then you've got to be obedient to step into that. And when you step into that, man, God does what only God can do.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is it. This is the theme of your book. Yeah. What a great resource. And Jeff, it's been really good to talk to you about
Jeff,
this.
I'm
kind of feeling a vibrancy inside of me right now. Mm-hmm. But let me turn to the listener and just say, if this is a need that you have, mm-hmm. you're feeling like, you know, I'm going to work, coming home, taking care of the kids, or maybe the kids are now gone. It's empty nest time. What a great time to participate in what the Lord is doing around you. And man, engage it. And this wonderful book will, I think, give you some great ideas on how to do more and to recognize the extraordinary within you. And man, what a great resource. Finding the Extra in Ordinary, Embracing the Beauty of the Christian Life. We often do this. Even this is an act of worship and service. We will send a copy of the book to you if you can make a donation of any amount, even $5, and it's fine. We just want to get it into your hands so you could use it as a tool. And when you support us that way, you're partnering in the ministry here. We're going to reach other families and help those families either save a marriage, maybe help a parent in a crisis. How about save a baby's life? Is that worth $5? Mm. I think so. And we could do that together when we work together, much like Jeff is talking about. So if you can't afford it, hey, okay, we'll send it to you. Just get in touch with us and we'll make sure you get it. And others we will trust will cover the cost of this. Let's do this together and be active for the Lord. Jeff, again, thank you for being with us.
Oh, Jim, John, thank you so much. It's been awesome to be with you guys.
Mm. Well, we're so glad you've joined us today. And you can donate and get a copy of this book when you call 800 the letter A and the word family, or stop by focusonthefamily.com/broadcast. On behalf of the whole team here, thanks for joining us for Focus on the Family with Jim Daly. I'm John Fuller, inviting you back as we once again help you and your family thrive in Christ. You're listening to Focus on the Family's weekend broadcast. We'll take a quick break here and then return with another faith-building program for your family. Stay tuned.
Hey, Jim Daly here. If you like the Focus on the Family broadcast and haven't grown tired of this voice just yet, you'll love my Refocus podcast. On Refocus, I take a deeper dive with a respected thinker on different aspects of culture. I ask those hard questions that maybe they don't get that often, and I don't shy away from challenging topics to help you share God's grace, truth, and love with others. So listen to Refocus with Jim Daly on your favorite streaming app today.
It doesn't matter how dirty, how creased, it doesn't matter where you've been, you can't alter the past. Bring the entire past to the altar of Jesus, and He is going to clean it, He's going to restore it, and He will reframe you. That is what He's going to do.
We have some great encouragement for you today from one of our most popular guests on this edition of Focus on the Family with Jim Daly. Thanks for joining us. I'm John Fuller.
You know, John, sometimes we just need a reminder of how valuable we are in God's eyes. It's hard to even think that way. And that's what our friend Jay John is going to deliver today. This message was given to a crowd of over 2,000 women, but the content is applicable for all of us. Jay John is an international speaker and author. He and his wife, Killy, live just outside London.
Well, here's Jay John, recorded at the 2019 Zoe Women's Conference, hosted by the Life Church in Memphis, Tennessee, on today's episode of Focus on the Family.
I'm going to tell you about four things that God says about each one of us, each one of you. The first thing he says is, you are lovable. Now, can you repeat this? I am lovable. You are indeed. The Bible says this, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Have you heard this? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. Has there ever been a greater untruth sung in the playground? That is not a nursery rhyme, that is a nursery crime. And we need to reject what has been spoken over us and hear what God speaks over us. There's a lovely story when Jesus is asked by a desperate man, would he go and visit his sick daughter? And he said, well, of course I'll come and visit your sick daughter. So Jesus is walking, he's with his disciples, he's going through this narrow lane street, and people are hearing, it's Jesus, it's pretty congested, it's pretty crowded. And then all of a sudden, Jesus stops, and he says, who touched me? I mean, can you imagine, you know, you're walking with a friend into a stadium, thousands of people are pouring in, and then your friend says, who touched me? You're like, I wouldn't worry about it. Do you know, chill out. There's always going to be a bit of an elbow. I mean, even here tonight, there could have been a little bit of an elbow. Jesus said, who touched me? And you know, the disciples, oh, Lord. I mean, it's not, isn't it? I mean, it's not as if you've got a wallet and you're going to lose it. I mean, chill out, Lord. Jesus said, who touched me? This woman came out of the crowd and she says, I touched you. And he said to her, why did you touch me? Now, I think Jesus knew the answer, but he just wanted her to articulate it. And she had a woman's problem, and no one could help her. And she says, I heard about you, Jesus, and I thought if I could reach and touch the hem of your garment, not even touch your skin, just touch the hem of your garment, something would happen. Jesus said, did it happen? Oh, yes! Now, this is the great thing about that story. The crowd was following Jesus, but Jesus stopped the whole crowd for one woman. So even here tonight, you may feel, wow, there's 2,000 women here. Does he know? He knows. He knows. He knows. And all you do is reach out. He'll stop for you. Why? Because you are lovable. So repeat, I am lovable.
I am lovable.
Secondly, you are valuable. Now say, I am valuable.
I am valuable.
Listen to what Jesus said. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, but God feeds them. Are you not more valuable to him than these birds? Listen to the birds. Jesus said, look at the birds. Are you not more valuable than they are? And Jesus says, of course you are. You are far more valuable than those birds are. Far more valuable. I've got in my pocket a $50 bill. It's a brand new one. It's nice when they're brand new, isn't it? I like them. They're really nice. And it's crisp. And it's clean. And it's worth $50. Now, I know this was all beautifully cleaned, but of course, many of us have walked up here with shoes from the outside, so maybe it's a bit dusty. Yeah, I think I can see a little bit of dust there. Right, let's put some dust on this $50 note. Is this illegal? Because in England, it's illegal to step on the Queen. All right, let's put a bit of dust, right. Okay, there we are. Right. A moment ago, this was a clean, crisp $50 bill, and it was worth $50. I can see that I've got dirt all over it, but it hasn't lost its value. It's still worth $50. But it's crisp. It's a crisp $50 bill. Okay, I'm going to scrunch it up now. Okay, now I've got a scrunched up $50 bill. A moment ago, it was clean and crisp, it was worth $50. Then it got dirt on it, it never lost its value. Now it's all scrunched up, and it hasn't lost its value. Listen, it doesn't matter how dirty, how scrunched up you think you are, you have never lost your value in God's eyes. I am lovable. I am valuable.
I am valuable.
Thirdly, you are forgivable. Now say, I am forgivable.
I am forgivable.
Yes, the Bible says this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The psalmist wrote, God, He forgives our sins. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. There was a woman who had lots of problems, and she went to see a psychotherapist. And the psychotherapist tried to work out, when did this woman's problems all begin? And he journeyed through her life, eventually to a time when she was quite young and she was at school. And for some reason, her teacher took a great dislike to her. And the teacher said to her, come out here and write on the board, I am a failure. And then the teacher said to the rest of the class, I want you all, one by one, to come out here and write what you think of her. And the psychotherapist said, well, how did you feel when that was happening? She said, well, I couldn't look at anybody. And I started to cry. And all I wanted to do was to die. And the psychotherapist says, as a Christian, I know that something else happened that day, and I'm so sorry you were not aware of it. But when everybody else had finished writing on that board, there was a man at the back called Jesus. He got up from his desk, he walked to the front, he picked up an eraser, he erased everything that was written on that blackboard. And he wrote, I love you and forgive you. You see, maybe some of that stuff on the board was true. Maybe some of it was true. But whether it was true, whether it wasn't true, Jesus wants to wipe it clean. Jesus did not come into this world to rub it in, but He came to rub it out. You are lovable, you are valuable, and you are forgivable. Jesus wants to cleanse us from the past. You and I cannot alter the past, but we can bring the past to the altar of God.
You're listening to Focus on the Family with Jim Daly, and that's British evangelist Jay John. And we're making this message available, along with three other great presentations from Jay John, in a complimentary audio bundle. We just want to encourage you, so stop by focusonthefamily.com/broadcast to access those, or call us if you need some guidance in doing that. Our number is 800, the letter A, and the word family, 800-232-6459. We'll be right back after this.
Are you a pastor? Then you and your spouse are invited to the Focused Pastor Couples Conference with Paul David Tripp, Greg Smalley, Ted Cunningham, and more. It's October 28th through 30th, right here at Focus on the Family in Colorado Springs. Visit thefocusedpastor.com/refresh for more details.
God wants true disciples, ones that think like Him, talk like Him, walk like Him, disciples that bring shalom to the chaos of this world. Pursue that path with the RVL Discipleship Series. Bible scholar Ray Vanderlaan will give you the tools to understand the Bible more deeply and inspire you to be a passionate follower of Christ. Watch the first episode at rvldiscipleship.com.
Welcome back to Focus on the Family, and let's return now to the presentation from Jay John.
There was a famous artist, and this famous artist went back to the very small rural community where he was born and brought up. And he's walking around some of the stores. There's an antique shop. He looks in the window. He cannot believe what he sees. In the window, he sees one of his masterpieces. It was a painting that he painted years before he was famous, but it was his. The frame was broken. The picture was scratched and dirty. He couldn't go into the store and say, "That's my painting, give it back to me." If he wanted it back, he had to buy it back before he could clean it, restore it, reframe it. That is what Jesus did for us. So look, it doesn't matter how dirty, how creased, it doesn't matter where you've been, you can't alter the past. Bring the entire past to the altar of Jesus, and He is going to clean it, He's going to restore it, and He will reframe you. That is what He's going to do. One, I am lovable. Two, I am valuable. Three, I am forgivable. And four, you are capable. Now say, I am capable. You are absolutely capable. There was an ice factory that caught fire. And this ice factory that produced ice caught fire. And they had to call the fire people to come and put the fire out, even though the factory had all the H2O it needed to put the fire out. But the problem was all its assets were frozen. Now, when I was growing up in London, I was an agnostic. I didn't believe in God. I wasn't interested in God. I didn't know anything really. But when I was a student, I met a Christian. And then one day, he showed me in the last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20, there's this beautiful picture of Jesus standing outside of a door of a house, knocking. And it says this: if you hear the knock, open the door and let him in. And my friend read this to me and he said to me, "Have you heard Jesus knocking?" I said, "I think so." He said, "Have you opened the door?" I said, "Where's the door?" He said, "Don't worry about where the door is. Ask Jesus to break the door down." On the 9th of February, 1975, I remember kneeling down, first time I ever knelt, was aware of kneeling. First time I ever prayed, and I said, Jesus, if you are knocking on my door, could you break that door down and come into my life? And as I said that, the light came on. The light came on. My heart, something happened. I could feel it in my heart. Something happened. Something shifted. I didn't have the vocabulary to explain what had happened, but I knew that the light had come on. I knew that something happened in my heart. My mother said to me, you're brainwashed. I said, Mother, my brain has been washed. If you only knew what was in my brain, you'd be pleased it got washed. And Jesus came into my life, and Jesus came into my house. That is such a beautiful, helpful analogy for us. We invite Jesus to come in, not to be our landlord, but to be our Lord. Yes. Not just to be resident, but to be president. Yes. Yeah, it's very easy to say, oh, come in, come in. And then you open this cupboard, get in there. Did that resonate? Did that resonate? I want you in my life, but restricted. I want you in my life, but only you can hang out there. No. The Bible says when he comes into our lives, he comes into our lives by his Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, do not quench the Holy Spirit, do not resist the Holy Spirit. Three, do not. Don't resist him. Don't quench him. Don't grieve him. So what we need to do is to say, come on down to the basement of our lives. Clear out all the cobwebs. Come into the attic of our lives. Clear out all the bats. Come into the sitting room of our lives. Come into the dining room of our lives. Come into the kitchen of our lives. Come into the bedroom of our lives. Come into this room of our life. Come into that. It's all yours. Jesus, I want you to be resident and president. Reign and rule in my life. Reign and rule in my heart. Reign and rule in my mind. Do you know, as we do that, his spirit living in us, this is the incredible thing. His spirit living in us is the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Wow, wait a minute, wait a minute. The same? Yeah, the same in here? The same, yes, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in us. Now, if the Holy Spirit lives in us, oh my word, and it can raise Jesus from the dead, wow, there's a lot in here. Yeah, therefore, I am capable. Therefore, you are capable. Therefore, everything is possible. Everything. If you've got God's Holy Spirit, everything is possible. Miracles are possible. Everything is possible because his spirit is living in us. Our next door neighbors, they're not Christians yet, but they call my wife and I the neighbors from heaven. Which is really nice, isn't it? Well, we wouldn't want to be called the neighbors from the other side, would we? The lady next door, she had a stroke. And as a consequence of the stroke, she fell into a coma. And she got transferred from our local hospital to a big hospital in Oxford. And her daughter came round and spoke to my wife, and she said to her, we've just met with the consultants and they've told us that mum is brain dead. And she's on a life support machine and we've decided that after 5 days, we're going to switch the machine off. So my wife said, well, look, can we visit your mother before you switch the machine off and she dies? And the daughter said, oh, please, if you could visit my mother, we'd be so grateful because my mother just loved you guys. So great, we're going to go. The only day I could go was the fifth day. So fifth day, we have to drive to another city, and I'm a little bit irritated because I'm like, oh, she was in the local hospital, now we've got to drive an hour. You know, and then you don't know this hospital and you don't know where to park the car, and I was a bit irritable. Anyway, we eventually get there and she's in intensive care. We walk in and she's got tubes all over her. So I start speaking to her. Hi, Joyce. I said, it's the neighbours from heaven. I said, we've just come to say a prayer with you. And she had tubes. I took her by the hand. I held Killy's hand. Killy held her other hand. And I start speaking to her. I said, now, what we're going to do now, Joyce, we're going to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. And when we said your kingdom come, she woke up. We went back. I said to her husband, she woke up. He goes, no, she didn't. I said, she did. He said, no, she didn't. I said, she did. He goes, she's brain dead. She didn't wake up. I said, she did. Anyway, it didn't matter. She came home the following week. She's still alive. Look, you see, when you've let Jesus into your heart here, it's like, whoa, 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 you are carrying resurrection fire. Right? Now look, we live in a world of miracle and mystery, okay? Look, that's the world in which we live in. Don't try and figure it all out. God is God, he's not applying for the job. So, you just gotta trust him. But in the meantime, just be channels of that grace, of that love, of that power to other people. We carry the presence of Jesus. Listen, you are lovable, you are valuable, you are forgivable, and you are capable. And what, you know, if you're going to get the most out of the next 24 hours, it begins with saying, Jesus, I open the door. Come in. Come in and cleanse me. Set me free from the past. Come in and heal me. For those of us that have already got Jesus in our lives and homes, it might be that we've got to say, Jesus, I know you're already in, but I've restricted you. I've restricted you, but I don't want to restrict you anymore. I want you to reign and rule in my life. I want you to be resident and president. I want you to go into every room of my life and be who you want to be, and I want to be a channel of whatever you want me to be. That's where it begins with. It begins with that.
And that's where we'll end this powerful message from British evangelist Jay John on today's Focus on the Family.
Yeah, Jay John invited the audience to stand up at this point, and he gave everyone an opportunity to ask Jesus Christ into their hearts for the first time or to reconnect with the Lord after a period of separation. So why don't we do that today, right now? Pray with me. Thank you, Jesus, for knocking on my door. I open the door of my life right now. I know I have done many things wrong, and I ask you to forgive me. Cleanse my life, set me free from the past. I invite you now into my life. Come in by your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your presence, your peace, and your power. Thank you, Jesus, that I am lovable, valuable, forgivable, and capable. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering my prayer. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer with me, well done. Welcome to the family of God. Please get in touch with us so that we can congratulate you and give you some follow-up materials like our Coming Home booklet, which will explain what it means to be a follower of Christ and give you some next steps to take. And we really want to bless you with more insight and encouragement. So we've put together a special bundle featuring four powerful messages from J. John, including the one you heard today, with some extra content. Visit us online for that complimentary access.
Yeah, this really is quite a collection from J. John, and it includes the titles Reasons to Believe in Jesus, Gaining a New Perspective on Life, and Unwrapping the Real Meaning of Christmas. And you can just visit our website to get started. That's focusonthefamily.com/broadcast. Or call us if you need some help. Our number is 800-232-6459. 800, the letter A, and the word family. On behalf of the entire team, thanks for joining us today for Focus on the Family with Jim Daly. I'm John Fuller, inviting you back as we once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.
Is your marriage holding on by a thread? For deep hurt, you need deep healing that only comes from the Lord. And you'll find it at a Focus on the Family Hope Restored Intensive in Michigan. Our licensed Christian counselors will help you and your spouse get to the root of your issues in just 3 to 5 days. And it works. 80% of the couples are still married 2 years after attending. Learn more at HopeRestored.com and talk with a trusted advisor. That's HopeRestored.com.